Before we begin, a quick disclaimer. Today's guest is a sommelier, and we just wanted to let our listeners know that this episode contains some mention of alcoholic beverages as it pertains to his profession.
Hi, I'm Tatiana Antonelli, and you're listening to Forward Talks by Goombook, a podcast about moving towards sustainability. Thanks to our partners RSpace for their support. RSpace is the first co-working community that connects humans with nature. Find out more at rspace.work. Our guest today is Luca Gagliardi, general manager at Pierre Chic, one of the most iconic restaurants and a personal favorite. Luca started out as a sommelier in his hometown in Bari, southern Italy, where he first encountered the concepts of sustainability that became an important aspect of his work today. His father was a winemaker, and back in the 70s and 80s, it was a fairly unregulated industry.
The things about my father and the wine is that he never drank somebody else's wine. Already in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, the mass production of wine was very, very common for obvious reason. Little farmers or little winemakers, they were kind of knew that they could use fertilizer or pesticides, and they were very, very scared of what you could put something in the wine, practically. That's why my father always drank his own wine. And I brought to him Chateau Margaux and Petrus. I brought to him the best wine in the world, and he never tasted it. In the end of the 70s, 80s, the manipulation of wine on using alcohol in 1985. We don't have to forget that in Italy, we killed a person by methanol. So we protected with the DOCG or the DOC in terms of upper appellation. But in terms of table wines, we were not protected. And of course, in order to raise the alcohol level, instead to use sugar, you used to use methanol. So different type of alcohol that could really harm you. So I come from a family with very strong principle in how to make wine.
So you translated this into a sustainable approach.
I think for many, many years, I never understood, to be honest, because you go mostly around the world and trying to work for the best restaurant and do as many experiences as you can do. So I've been working 10 years with Gordon Ramsay, Marco Pirouette, Conrad Gallagher, cruise ships, you name it. But of course, the more you grow and the more you reach a family level, so you're growing your own family and you have your own kids, then you start to see things differently. So my question was always lately, what can be the best restaurant today? How can we measure to have a very good restaurant? By the capability of a chef or the plating, or what can define? Because we live in a society that is going very, very fast. So mostly in Dubai, we're very lucky because we have hands on a very international type of restaurant. So all the brands mostly are here. And finally, we have some local brands that they exported to Europe. I've been shown from the wine side how a wine can be made today. And this was in 2008 when one person brought to me a bottle of Gravener, that is an Italian winemaker that makes wine like the Georgian used to make 500 years ago. And when you taste this wine, you understand that oxidation is there. And on whatever book I've read, oxidation was always some kind of not really a good sign of winemaking. It's okay if it's in a sweet wine or different appellation like Vinsanto or Madeira, but not in a still wine. So I start to see the wine and go deep and understanding why 500 years ago those wines were made in this way. And when did we switch the way we are making wine today? I understood that there are few things in the wine world today coming alive, and they are not seen anymore as a fashion. There are some believers in winemaking that believes that the earth is the starting point of winemaking, and you have to treat the soil not for the goods of yourself, but for the goods of the next generation to come. because in all these years, in the last 30, 40 years, we've been abusing our soil with fertilizer, pesticides, and everything in order to do a wine as fast as we can. From the wine, I start to see into food, going back to sustainability. Sustainability based itself on three factors, and we call it on 3P, that is people, planet, and profit. Of course, any organization has to be based on profitability. Okay, people, we understand this for us, it's for the next generation, planet. We need to understand that we need to save the planet in the next for the next generation. I start to understand that maybe it's better to go and buy your vegetables and fruit to the farmer's market when we start to see the farmer's market, you know. So this is a way for us to save people and planet, and for the second is to support those business in terms of sustainability. And that's why when they give me Pirschik as a restaurant, then I start to put everything together and see if it can be done in one restaurant, such restaurant as Pirschik it is.
So you started applying your personal social responsibility to your activity, to your business. What happens behind managing such a beautiful and important restaurant like Pirschik? But for me, it's an icon. I used to go to Pirschik since I've been in Dubai. It's the synonym of great food, great quality food. So how did you take it to the next level?
So the pier has been there since 1978. So for us, was always the pier is different from Pirschik, from the restaurant. So it's like to have two entities to safeguard. How are we going to save the pier and how we're going to make it last longer and trying to get something that is still ongoing nowadays is to be part of the heritage of Dubai, because it's one of the things still standing since 1978 in Dubai. That's for Dubai standards, it's a very, very long time. So we start to see the pier, we start to see the restaurant. The restaurant was a French, like modern European menu. It came natural to say, okay, let's go more on the seafood side because we are in the middle of the sea. And being in the middle of the sea, and we start to understand, okay, we need seafood product. And what are the best seafood product available to us? And the whole idea is what defines the best product, you know? So I start, when we go around the restaurant to see a recipe or to see how they are doing at the restaurant, it's odd that you go to a restaurant and you see sea bass. When you see sea bream, and then you start to wonder the ingredients list, no? Where it come from? So we start to want to understand where those products are come from. And luckily enough, there was a fishmongers from Cornwall that used to supply a turbot to a bourgeois Arab, only the turbot. So we get in contact with this fishmonger, and we came to know he was the president of the lobster hatchery in UK and all these things. So he had a base in Cornwall, and he's a fishmonger that buys fish from a fisherman, and he delivered to the best restaurant in UK. So that was the first move we did it in terms to source product that are from sustainable sources, are of very, very good quality. Of course, there is always the carbon footprint that need to be reduced, because as far as you import product, you will still have the carbon emission. We started with looking for sustainable sources outside Dubai. So the tuna, we need to fish the tuna that has not the eggs, because the eggs needs to be released when the tuna gets into the Mediterranean. So there are certification coming from Japan, or we have to buy a Chilean sea bass from the French, because the French, they got a certification that they fish the Chilean sea bass in some of the times of the year on some weight. So there is a kind of certification. So we've been looking for those products outside UAE first, and then we start to think on the carbon emission. And luckily enough, there are so many companies now in Dubai doing fish farm. So of course, farming fish has been always something that we denied to have it in a very high-end restaurant, because line caught is always the best fish coming from the ocean. But thinking on sustainability and having a discussion with some of my friends in Germany, somebody made me realize that if the world would only eat line-caught fish, we will swim in an empty sea. So fish farming is very good for sustainability, but of course you need to check those fish farm, how they're doing their job. So we went properly in Dibba. We called the guy and we said, we're coming to check you. We're very interested in your product. You're doing Dibba oysters, but we don't know anything about you. So we went and we met some very beautiful people in this journey because they're all following organic. And of course, when you start to talk with somebody that share the same vision, it just things get together. So we've been shown how they grow the oysters, how they do, and of course, everything that is behind as well in terms of the funds and the resource that they need. And of course, they need people like us to sustain the business. Always in Dibba, there is somebody that is farming the Amur sea bass and sea bream, and those are the same people that they have in Jebel Ali, a salmon farm.
No, there's a salmon farm?
There is a salmon farm. So we were so interested that by standards is the biggest fish farm on land in the world. So he got the attention of CNN, he got the attention of so many people. Strangely, the salmon, they have a hatcheries for salmon. Those are Loch Fyne salmon from Scotland, and they hatched here. So they become kind of Dubai, Emirati, or local salmon, the way you want to call. And they reproduce partially the life in the river. So through addition of oxygen, type of current, speed of the current, or whatever, they do electronically from your mobile application. They can reproduce the salmon, the baby salmon living in the river. And of course, when the baby salmon, it's small, it goes to one direction. And then when it starts to grow, the salmon knows by the DNA that he has to go in the river. So he starts to act weirdly. And then is when they take from this pound and they put in another pound that reproduce the ocean. And it's just unbelievable to see. It's not from the clean and tidiness, but from the technology they're using and the investment behind. And then we had to go back to cook for the minister of food safety, because there is all the interest of the government. We all know that in Dubai, the Dubai municipality has very, very high standards compared to the rest of the world. And lately we've been watching vegetables and vegetables done in a hydroponic way. They use a really, really low amount of water and no soil. So they cannot even say that they are organic because there is no fertilizer and pesticides, but they have no even soil. The soil is made by a compost that, if they want, this compost can be made by a wastage of restaurants. So hydroponic, it goes perfectly in an environment that is like the desert, because, of course, what we have as main issue in a desertic area, of course, is water, number one. And number two, you cannot bring soil from outside UAE because, of course, you're not going to go and destroy the ecosystem of the desert. So this goes perfectly in line with the sustainability. Probably 10 years ago, we will not even know. There are so many people don't know that. But the more you dig inside our Emirates, there are so many business and startups devoted to sustainability in terms of food.
Oh, definitely. And I think the role of businesses such as yours is really important in supporting the other businesses. As you said, if you were not there to buy the oysters and the fish and the burrata, who would buy it? And you also do a kind of education to your consumer. I'm sure they must actually ask you, how can you source this product? Do you have that interaction?
You know, sometimes it gets quite, I don't want to say weird, as of course it's the first talk to our client, is the bread. But great restaurants, He will always put all his best he has in those products that generally are free for the clients. So what is free for the clients? The bread and the petit four. So for the bread, we did it. We asked for a local company, a local baker, Sven, very famous in Dubai because he's one of the believers in the quality and sourdoughs. And so we asked him to produce a bread that is very long, with a long fermentations. And we're talking about 4, 5, 6 days fermentation bread. And of course, the more you ferment the bread, the less that you active chemically create the gluten. So it's actually a gluten-free. Of course, you cannot say gluten-free bread, but actually technically is. Of course, when you start to say these things to your clients looks at you and say, excuse me, why 7 days? So when we start to say, at the beginning, I remember, it was quite interesting to people didn't know. And this was only 2 years ago. But because, as I said before, we are going very, very fast, in only 2 years, and because there are so many coffee shops, bakers now, everybody. So if before 90% will ask you what is a sourdough, today maybe you have 50% only asking.
So Pierre Chic is the iconic restaurant, one of the iconic restaurants of the Jumeirah Group, part of the Alcazar. Of course, you have different restaurants, hundreds of restaurants within Alcazar, Mina Salam, Burj Al Arab. So do you feel you've been breaking ground? Do you feel you've inspired other restaurants in the group to follow your footsteps?
You know, even if I was very, very strong in my idea of sustainability and sourcing those type of product and having an operation made in a certain way, you can only do if you believe. I have to mention that. And plus, you need to have people that believes inside your company. So we are part of Jumeirah Restaurant Group, that is part of Dubai Retails in Dubai Holdings. And the person used to be in charge of Jumeirah Restaurant Group, that used to be Emma Banks, was one of the major play role in define the way to go. So it was, she came to GRG, I came to GRG, many other people came to GRG, and of course, there were around one table people that believed, and as soon as we said, let's remove the plastic on that table, it was just a big cheer up. Because it's more easy to say, who cares? It's very, very easy. But when you say, I care, you care. It doesn't matter what it takes. And believe me, it takes much longer, and it takes lots of effort, and it takes most of everything. You know, when you wake up in the morning and say, off plastic today, you have to do today, you know? It's a journey that, you know, you can take on your own and fight for it. And there is a journey that is shared by the same people in the same organization, and it makes it easy. It makes it easy mostly from not only a professional point of view, but a personal point of view, knowing that everybody in our organization really cares about the sustainability and what we can do in our little to change the world. And it changed. And we see today, for example, the staff. One of my staff came to me and said, Luca, I will buy us, you know, instead to take public transportation, he took a scooter, an electric scooter to go from his house to Pierre Chic. And you see how happy he was to give me this news. So it's kind of very spread. It's nice to work in an environment as a restaurant where usually it's always money, 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 money. And today when we do briefing or anything we do, it has to be always the sustainability somewhere.
It's true. I mean, at the end, to be a responsible business or a responsible person, you need to be informed and in order to make then the responsible choice.
And it's always nice when we see other hotels that or other restaurants that they come with the same philosophy. And even if they remove only the steering plastic, for us, makes a very great success. You share lots of your knowledge with other people in the industry. And what makes you go really more deep and deep is because we all help each other. So as far as somebody starts, we all there to help. And if somebody does not start, we are there to let them understand.
So now, what is the next step for you?
Stressing with product. There's many things we can do, you know, to obtain and try to be the 100% sustainable. It would be very, very difficult to have our wastage and make it into compost. It's not a big dream. It's a reality, just where we're going to store the machine to convert our... So it can be very, very near the hotel, can be another. So this is one of the main priority we have. We tried as well to have a solar panel, so we went to a company, but we could only use 15 watts. And because everything is run in Pershik as electric, we will need something like 130. So it's quite big, the difference. But we don't want to stop there. We're going to see if placing batteries could be, or only using this technology of solar during the day. So there are lots of things still to do. It's not a stopping journey trying to be as sustainable as we are. Of course, we want to be also involved more in society, in this one. That's why we did the first summit on sustainability. And we invited from Pure Circle, Dr. Martin Blake, that he sees sustainability from completely different point of view, that even us sometimes we say, wow. When we did the summit, we understood that there were so many other people fighting for sustainability, and it's amazing what can bring a summit or a talk. And that's why we're very, very interested in being the community and be helped by other people and show us better ways to do sustainability. And to, of course, from our side, teach whoever is starting the journey on sustainability. And it's one thing we really want to do, and above everything is to try to support as much as we can all the companies there today starting the journey in this direction and bringing product to our kitchen, and use all our power of social network in order to let other people know. But of course, we never have to forget that we are giving all this on to our clients, and clients needs to be teached, trained as well on this one. And we're very happy, and we wish that one person one day will come to Pershik and say, I'm coming to Pershik because you're sustainable. That will be the best, I will say, merit out of all these one, is to finally have people that don't only come for the food or for the beautiful location and wherever Pershik represents for many people. This will be the best. So we're trying to figure out first inside our company how to prevent food wastage. And we've been acting in ways that, for example, our Friday brunch, we have two brunch on Friday, on Saturday. We don't do any kind of buffet. So you order. You want more? We give you more. You want less? We don't give you. Of course, there is other wastage, like trimmings in the restaurant. You know, to make a nice 200 grams of filet, you need to remove probably 20, 30 grams that it will be looked like a tail. We've been using since 1st of January that our staff eats inside the restaurant and no more to a canteen where there is waste, food wastage as well. Of course, we have to buy things for our staff because it will be not enough. But then everything else that goes from trimmings or anything that will go into wastage, but not because it's not good, it's just not presentable aesthetically. So we use everything. And it was quite strange because, of course, you have like 500 dirhams that you can buy for the staff a month. And in reality, we only use sometimes a month, 90 dirhams, because everything else comes from wastage.
Grazie Luca. It was a pleasure hearing about all things sustainability at Pershik, and we hope you enjoyed this episode. You can connect with us on social media by searching for Goombook or by visiting our website, goombook.com, which also has all our episodes and links to subscribe to the show. We'll have a short bonus episode with Luca out later this week, and we'll be back with a new guest on Tuesday. See you then!